हरे कृष्णा। It is a great honor and privilege and pleasure to be here at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Shamsundar on the auspicious occasion of the Radhastami celebration in Sri Vrajadham, in the presence of so many dear God brothers and wonderful devotees. I thought today to read a verse from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 9, the most confidential knowledge, text 13. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Mahatmanastu mam partha,
Mahatmanastu mam partha,
Daivim prakritim ashrita,
Daivim prakritim ashrita,
Vajantyananya manaso,
Gyatva
bhuta adima vyayam,
Gyatva bhuta adima vyayam,
Mahatmanastu mam partha,
Mahatmanastu mam partha,
Daivim prakritim ashrita,
Daivim prakritim ashrita,
Bhajantyananya manaso,
Bhajantyananya manaso,
Gyatva bhutadima vyayam,
Gyatva bhutadima vyayam,
Mahatmana,
Mahatmana,
the great souls,
two,
but mam, unto me,
partha,
O son of Pritha,
daivim,
divine, prakritim,
nature,
ashita, having taken shelter of Bhajanti, render service Ananya Manasa, without deviation of the mind, Yatva, knowing Bhuta of creation,
Adim,
the origin of Yayam, inexhaustible. Translation. Please move forward to allow room for others. In the original document by which Srila Prabhupada formed ISKCON, he stated that one of the purposes of the society is to bring the members closer to God and to each other. So, translation. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. In this verse, a purport by Srila Prabhupada, in this verse, the description of the Mahatma is clearly given. The first sign of the Mahatma is that he is already situated in the divine nature. He is not under the control of the material nature. And how is this effected? That is explained in the 7th chapter. One who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, at once becomes freed from the control of material nature. That is the qualification. One can become free from the control of material nature as soon as he surrenders his soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the preliminary formula. Being marginal potency, as soon as the living entity is freed from the control of material nature, he is put under the guidance of the spiritual nature. The guidance of the spiritual nature is called Daivi Prakriti, divine nature. So when one is promoted in that way, by surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one attains to the stage of great soul, Mahatma. The Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside Krishna, because he knows perfectly well that Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. There is no doubt about it. Such a Mahatma or great soul develops through association with other Mahatmas, pure devotees. Pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-armed Mahavishnu. They are simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. They are not attracted to other features of Krishna, nor are they concerned with any form of a demigod or of a human being. They meditate only upon Krishna in Krishna consciousness. They are always engaged in the unswerving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. So this verse describes how the Mahatmas, or great souls, are placed under the guidance of the divine nature, or Srimati Radharani. And on the auspicious occasion of Sri Radhastami, we want to know how we can place ourselves fully under her guidance and be engaged in devotional service under her protection. In 1976, I arranged a program for Srila Prabhupada at Birla House, the home of the wealthiest family in India. And I presented a list of proposed topics to Mrs. Birla, Mrs. Gopi Kumari Birla, and gave her the choice of which topic she could advertise for Srila Prabhupada. And she chose the topic, how to be successful in life. Of all the topics, she chose that one. And all the guests, invitees to the program, were people whom we would all consider to be very successful in life. But that is the nature of material success. You can never be successful. You always want to be more successful, which means that relatively you're unsuccessful. At one time, the richest man in the world was John Paul Getty. And a newspaper reporter asked him, you know, you are the richest man in the world. You have everything that money could buy. Can you tell us in a word, what is your philosophy? He said, yes, I can. More. So, you know, whether you have, you know, $1 or $100 billion, as long as you're in material consciousness, you want more, which means you're not satisfied. It means you're not successful. So when Srila Prabhupada came to the program, he gave a very interesting definition of success. He said that there are two energies, the material energy and the spiritual energy. And the material energy is personified as Durga Devi. And she rides on a lion and has a trident or trishul with three points. And the three prongs indicate the threefold miseries of material existence: adiatmic, adibhautik, and adidaivik. Miseries caused by one's own mind and body, miseries caused by other living entities, and miseries caused by acts of nature. And she's always piercing the conditioned souls with these miseries, punishing them, like the warden of a prison. We're like prisoners of the material energy, and Durga Devi is punishing us. And opposed to the material energy is the spiritual energy, personified by Srimati Radharani. So success in life is to become free from the control of the material energy, free from the punishment of Durga Devi, and to come under the protection of Srimati Radharani. That is our success in life. And how is that effective? That is achieved by surrendering to a great soul who has surrendered to another great soul, who has surrendered to another great soul, ultimately who has surrendered to Srimati Radharani and Krishna. That is parampara. We cannot surrender to Krishna directly. We have no such facility in our present stage of bondage. But we can surrender to someone who has surrendered to someone who has surrendered to someone all the way back to Krishna. And for us here, that means Srila Prabhupada and those who are surrendered to him. Once in Bombay, a very prominent Hindu gentleman came to meet Srila Prabhupada, and he lamented that India is a land of Mahatmas, but there are always so many problems. Being blessed by the presence of Mahatmas, India should be flourishing. But instead, we have so many problems. Why? And Srila Prabhupada replied, "The reason is that you cannot distinguish who is a Mahatma and who is not a Mahatma." And this is a very important point, because if we are going to surrender to a Mahatma as a representative of Krishna, we have to be able to recognize who is a Mahatma. And here I think of another interesting and instructive incident that took place. Srila Prabhupada had a friend in Bombay named Dr. Patel. And Dr. Patel would accompany Srila Prabhupada every morning on his walk on Juhu Beach. And they would have very lively discussions. And Dr. Patel was hard to figure out, because sometimes he spoke like a Mayavadi, But whenever Prabhupada would accuse him of being a Mayavadi, he would say, "No, sir, I'm a Vaishnava." So one morning, Srila Prabhupada happened to criticize a popular religious figure of India. And Dr. Patel became very upset. And he said, "You cannot speak about him like that." And what did Srila Prabhupada say? "I am not saying, Krishna is saying." Namam duskriti namudha prapadyante naradama maya parita jnana asurim bhavamasrita. If someone does not surrender to Krishna, he falls in one of these categories. Duskritinam, miscreant, mudha, fool or rascal, and so on. But Dr. Patel was really livid with rage, and he began to shout at Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was shouting back at him. And both were shouting at each other. Now, Dr. Patel had a group of friends, cronies, who they admired him and followed him. He was their leader. But even they were trying to restrain him. They were saying, "Swamiji has a heart condition. Don't upset him so." And they're trying to pull him away. And Prabhupada's disciples, we wanted Dr. Patel to go away. But it was hard to separate them. It was like in a boxing ring. It's like the referee's trying to separate them, but they just keep pounding into each other. And finally they, took Dr. Patel away. So afterwards, Tamal Krishna Goswami went up to see Srila Prabhupada in his room. And he said, "What is Dr. Patel's position? It's very hard to understand him." And Srila Prabhupada replied by telling a story. That there was once a man who was very expert in many languages. And he came to a village, and whatever language the people spoke to him in, he would reply perfectly in the same language. And nobody could figure out where he was from, what his native tongue was. So it was a big topic in the village. And finally one man said, "I will find out what is his original language." So one day when that man was not looking, the other person came up behind him and gave him a very strong slap on the back. And that expert linguist began cursing in his own language. So Srila Prabhupada said, "Dr. Patel was like that. He could speak very expertly, like a Vaishnav, like a Mayavadi, like a Sanskrit scholar, like a nationalist. He could speak many languages. But when I hit him where it really hurt, his true language came out." So then Tamal Krishna Goswami asked, "But then why do you keep accommodating him on your walks?" And Srila Prabhupada replied, "We have to engage everyone." And that was Prabhupada's magnanimous mood. As long as someone wanted to associate with him, Prabhupada wanted to give him the chance so that gradually he could make progress in Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada did not reject anyone, but he did say, "From now on, no more talking on the morning walk. We will just read Krishna book." But the next morning, for the first time in many years, Dr. Patel did not come on the walk. For one or two days, There was no Dr. Patel. And then one day, Srila Prabhupada was walking in one direction, near the ocean, near the sea, and Dr. Patel was walking in the opposite direction, quite some distance from the sea. And the way he describes it, he was planning to walk by Srila Prabhupada. He wasn't going to see him. But something in his heart made him come to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. He bowed in, respect. And he said, "Srila Prabhupada, I'm sorry. But I've been taught to respect all the accredited saints or Mahatmas of India." And Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes. And my business is to say who is a saint and who is not a saint." So here in the Bhagavad Gita we get the clear definition who is a Mahatma. And as Srila Prabhupada says, a Mahatma develops in association of another Mahatma or Mahatmas. And there are so many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam that recommend serving great souls. Mahat seva dwaram ahur vimuktes tamo dwaram yoshita samni sangam. By serving great souls, the door to liberation opens. And by serving materialistic people, the path to hell is open. So we are fortunate that somehow or other we have come in touch with Srila Prabhupada and his line of disciplic succession. And so we have the opportunity to associate with genuine Mahatmas. And the basic qualification of a Mahatma is he is surrendered to Krishna. And having surrendered to Krishna, he's placed under the internal potency. Bohunam janmanam ante jnanavamam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. When one surrenders to Krishna, he's not only a Mahatma, but a very rare Mahatma. And Srila Prabhupada continued, he considered his disciples who had surrendered to Krishna through him to be rare Mahatmas. So this parampara, surrendering to a great soul who surrendered to another great soul who surrendered to another great soul, goes back through disciplic succession, as we see so beautifully depicted here. And eventually, in our line, we come to Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, the six Goswamis, and Swarup Damodar Goswami, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, as you may know, Lord Krishna's associates in Vrindavan, in Krishna Leela, appeared as associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Gaur Leela. And the same types of relationships and interactions that they had in Krishna Leela, they also had in Gaur Leela, of course, with some differences. But if we take Raghunath Das Goswami as an example, when he came to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed him under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And he was like a servant or secretary. Well, Swarup Damodar Goswami, you could say, was a secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Raghunath Das Goswami was the assistant to the secretary. And we find the same type of dynamic in Krishna Leela. Because in Krishna Leela, Raghunath Das Goswami is Rati Manjari, and Saurabh Damodar Goswami is Lalita Devi, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radharani and Krishna. So just as Rati Manjari would serve the divine couple under the guidance of or protection of Lalita Devi, so Raghunath Das Goswami was serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under Sri Damodar Goswami. And later, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wound up his manifest pastimes, Raghunath Das Goswami went to Vrindavan and took shelter under Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And he was extremely attached to Rupa Goswami. Just like Rati Manjari would serve Srimati Radharani under the guidance of Rupa Manjari. So the same types of relationships existed in Gaur Leela as in Krishna Leela, but the forms were different. Many of the devotees who had the forms of gopis in Krishna Leela had the forms of men in Gaur Leela. And there was a little difference in mood, of course, but the same basic relationships were there. Now, of course, this is a very esoteric topic, but I've taken the liberty to discuss it today because it's a special occasion and I'm under the protection of many great souls here, so I'm sure that if I get into trouble or put us all in trouble, they will intervene and save us. But there's another reason, and that is to make the point that by serving Srila Prabhupada and our parampara in disciplic succession, when we come to a certain stage, they themselves will arrange for us to come under the protection of the divine energy in more specific ways. We don't have to go outside looking here and there for someone to do that for us, because it is built in to our process of parampara. And so, although when we read the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, it might seem, well, this is general, we're coming under the protection of the divine energy in a general way. But what if I want to come under the guidance of the divine energy in a more specific way? But that will automatically happen when we're ready, when we're qualified. Because the same people that we are seeing in the form of our acharyas in the parampara, they're also there in Gaur Leela and in Krishna Leela. So we just have to surrender to them, which means to follow their instructions strictly. And if we do, everything else will follow. But we have to do our part, as you all are trying. In Bombay, one Indian gentleman came to see Srila Prabhupada, and he was crying, "Swamiji, Swamiji, please save me, please save me. Only you can save me." And Srila Prabhupada said, I cannot save you. You have to save yourself. But I can give you the process by which you can save yourself. So the Mahatmas, the saints, the spiritual masters, give us the process by which we can save ourselves. But we have to take up the process seriously. On another occasion in Bombay, one of Prabhupada's disciples sitting before him, Prabhupada was on the Vyasasan. Srila Prabhupada, please give me your mercy that I may follow your instructions. And Srila Prabhupada's lips curled in disgust. I mean, Srila Prabhupada was an ocean of love, but he expressed his love in different ways. And we shouldn't misunderstand and think that he was all roses. He could also be like a thunderbolt. So his lips curled in disgust. My mercy is that I have given you my instruction. He said, if you are in a well and someone sends down a rope and you're at the bottom of the well and you're praying, please give me your mercy that my fingers will curl around the rope. Is that a very good idea? No, you have to hold on to the rope and then he will pull you out of the well. So his mercy is he sends down the rope and he'll pull you up. But you have to hold on to the rope. That is your part. That is your minute independence. But even then, Srila Prabhupada is very merciful. All Vaishnavas are, by definition. So they encourage us, cajole us, chastise us, correct us, so that we will hold on to the rope. And if we do, we will be elevated step by step. But whatever we do wrong, this I must say, whatever we do wrong, we can always rectify ourselves. There was a few incidents. One of Srila Prabhupada's early disciples had come to India, and he was in Calcutta, and somehow he had gotten into smoking ganja, hashish, or marijuana. So the temple president phoned Srila Prabhupada in Bombay and asked him what to do. And Srila Prabhupada said, tell him that if he doesn't stop this, I will reject him. After the phone call, Tamal Krishna Goswami asked Srila Prabhupada, is it true that if he doesn't stop, you will reject him? And Srila Prabhupada said, no. I cannot reject anyone. Then a few years later, there was another incident with a devotee. I forget the details, but he was... Anyway, he became sort of a pseudo-yogi. He was Prabhupada's disciple, but he became a sort of pseudo-yogi, and he was doing something, making, I don't know, some sort of tricks, and living on Juhu Beach and having followers come. And Srila Prabhupada would not reject him.
Srila Prabhupada would not reject him.
And Tamal Krishna Goswami was sort of pushing that Prabhupada should. Maybe not pushing, but anyway, he said, Srila Prabhupada, don't you have to draw the line somewhere? Isn't there a limit? And Srila Prabhupada replied, there is no limit to Lord Nityananda's mercy. So that is Prabhupada's magnanimous mood, Nityananda Prabhu's magnanimous mood. Of course, it doesn't mean that we welcome them in our intimate association if they're not up to the standard. But even if they're not in you know, the intimate association of the devotees, we still want to encourage them to come back. So we just have to continue. And do our best to follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions, the process of devotional service, with full faith in the potency of the instructions and in the mercy of the parampara. And if we do, we will be placed fully under the guidance of the divine energy. And Srila Prabhupada and his associates will be there. Some of you may know, I hope, the history of the Juhu land, Hare Krishna land, which is told in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. The owner of the land was Mr. Nair. In the Lilamrita, he's called Mr. N. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada had a disciple named Trista Krishna Das. And Trista Krishna was actually the first ISKCON devotee to meet Mr. Nair. And at a certain... But Trista Krishna Das had come from a group of devotees who were followers of another devotee named Sai. Sai was an interesting person because he got Prabhupada's books and began to follow Prabhupada's teachings, and he began his own movement, his own Hare Krishna movement in Hawaii without having ever actually met Srila Prabhupada. He was quite a mellow fellow, sort of relaxed, and he had a farm community in Hawaii, and he encouraged people just to come and farm and chant, and like not too strict or too heavy. And eventually he took initiation from Srila Prabhupada. So Trista Krishna Prabhu had the idea that Siddha Swarup, which was Sai's initiated name, that Siddha Swarup was a pure devotee and he should be followed, but that they shouldn't have to follow anyone else in ISKCON. And Srila Prabhupada replied that this was the wrong mentality. He said, Siddha Swarup is a good soul. You say he's a pure devotee. But anyone who's sincerely following the instructions of the spiritual master is a pure devotee. And if you say Siddha Swarup is a pure devotee, he should be followed and no others, that will create factions. The same point that anyone who is sincerely following the instructions of the spiritual master is a pure devotee, and he is our Prabhu, and he should be followed. And then Srila Prabhupada wrote that you know, Siddha Swarup will go to the spiritual sky, and you will go, and Shamsundar will go. Shamsundar was the GBC, and they had some problems with the GBC. So Prabhupada specifically said Shamsundar will go, and then Srila Prabhupada said, only Mr. Nair, he cannot go. He will have to stay behind. And then Prabhupada wrote, and we will have another ISKCON in the spiritual sky. So what does that mean, we'll have another ISKCON in the spiritual sky? Does it mean there's going to be GBC meetings and resolutions and minutes and supervision? My understanding is that the same relationships we have here will be translated into terms as we read about in Chaitanya Lila and Krishna Lila. We'll be the same people as individuals, as spirit souls, and there will be organization, there will be hierarchy, but it will be without any inebrieties. But it'll be that type of hierarchy where you have Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Rai Ramananda, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, that type of hierarchy. And even in Krishna Lila, there will be a hierarchy. And we will be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. That is our constitutional position. And it continues even in the spiritual world. Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. Once I asked Srila Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor, Pradumya Das, about pride in the spiritual world. Because I had heard that everything that exists in the material world also exists in the spiritual world in its original pure form. So I asked, what about pride? And Pradumya Prabhu at that time, well, I mean maybe even now, but he was very absorbed in reading the books of our previous acharyas. And so whenever I'd ask a question, he'd immediately refer to some book or commentary. And I believe what I'm about to say he attributed to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, but I can't say for sure. But he said the original form of pride, which exists in the spiritual world, is feeling I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. I'm the last. Because what does it mean to be the servant of the servant? It means you have so many masters. So if you're the last in the line, you're the servant of the servant of the servant, that means you have more masters than anyone else. So that is the pride of the pure devotee, that he's the last in the line of servants. He has the most masters to serve and please. So that is our aspiration on this most sacred of occasions, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. And that begins right here and now. And that will continue even in our liberated condition in if we're lucky enough one day in Gaur Lila and Krishna Lila. And this means that not only is our relationship with our spiritual master and the parampara going back to Krishna eternal, but in principle our relationship with each other is eternal. So we should be very careful in our dealings with each other. It's not like, oh well, he doesn't really matter, she doesn't matter. We're only here, you know, for a few years. And who knows, maybe the person will bloop sooner. We won't even have to tolerate the person for so long. In fact, due to that person's offenses against me, probably will be. And we shouldn't think like that. Because anyone who's following the process will reach the same destination. And we'll all be there together serving under our superiors in some sort of hierarchy under the supreme guidance of Srimati Radharani. So we should be very careful in how we deal with each other as well. And if we do that, follow the process and live in the association of devotees and don't offend devotees, we will get the result. And we'll have another ISKCON in the spiritual sky. like the ISKCON depicted on the pictures, in the pictures on the wall, that ISKCON. But this ISKCON also, in principle, is not different. Because as long as we're following Srila Prabhupada's instructions and relishing Krishna consciousness and spreading Krishna consciousness, in essence, there's no difference. And a devotee, apituyartha darshana, he sees any situation the same, equally. Because as long as he can serve the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, he's happy. So, I'm happy to be here. I do feel I'm in the spiritual world. And I pray to Srimati Radharani and our parampara that I will never lose this type of association, but that I'll be able to serve their servants eternally. Hare Krishna. Shishi Radha Shama Sundar Ki. Shishi Radha Damodar Ki.